Thanks for listening.
What? Why did it stop?
You hit the button.
I did.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. We are absolutely excited to have you guys with us. We've got a great show today. Lots coming up. We're going to talk a little bit about deer hunting. What kind of a tradition is it for you and your family? Is it still alive? We're going to talk a little bit about CWD, some places to watch out for, and what the state of hunting is in Minnesota. That and more for everywhere else coming right up. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you, Ava.
Good to see you too, and guess who we have?
A celebrity guest.
Sir Doncelot.
Sir Doncelot.
Yeah. I
didn't bring that up. And by the way, thank you guys for the fantastic opener today.
We had to leave that in.
So what's this I hear about the show going faster when I'm not here?
Much faster.
What is that? That's nonsense.
Much faster.
It's amazing.
It's the same time.
Don,
how can it go faster?
It's already been a half hour of us being here.
And we're
here,
still just on the
just
first
getting
segment.
Started.
Yeah. Well, that's because we have too much fun when I'm here.
See? He's
deflecting
again. That's twice he deflected today.
Now, let's get to the subject.
See,
what do you got?
Now he's changing the topic.
See, you're wasting time.
So, obviously, this weekend is the Minnesota Deer Opener, Don. Big event.
It is.
In the state.
It's happening right now.
It's happening as we speak.
Yes.
And hopefully everybody is safe. They had a safe travels to the cabin, and they have a safe hunt. If you're listening to this, you're probably just hanging out in your car because you're getting warm or something, but it looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend, which is going to be nice.
Yes.
And you know, the thing that comes up in my mind when I was putting the show together today, I thought, when it comes to deer hunting, same with fishing opener, any of the opener type things that go on, there's family traditions that have always been evolved or involved with that particular event. The deer opener, hey, you spend 3 weeks planning and getting food ready and figuring out what's going to happen, and every 14 phone calls between people, and all right, have you got this? You got this ready, or you got this gun? Okay, is the shed ready? You know, or are we going to have? You know, do we need to cut anything? Have you got tools? The whole nine yards. So the question I pose to you guys, as well as the audience, and just think about it. It is a family tradition, but the question I have is, are we losing it? And are we losing it in a couple different ways? One is, do the younger people coming into it have that same interest level to carry on tradition that many of my parents, and I think your parents, and Ava, I think you were brought into it with your parents, mm-hmm. right? So grandparents, you know, the past history, is that going away? Does it have that same sparkle? And if it doesn't, why?
Well, I envy those that have that tradition, because you see all kinds of photos. You see them on Facebook. You see them in magazine articles and shows.
Absolutely.
And it looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Now, not to rain on your parade when you're asking me the question, I can't think of a family member in my family that hunted deer other than me.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, I mean, I hunted deer once back in the early 70s and didn't pick it up again until the last several years. So, in 70, we got a 10-point buck, but we weren't really good marksmen.
So it took more than one shot.
Yeah. Okay. And it took a long distance. I mean, it's like I said, we weren't as proficient with the aiming
device. But you got
device.
It.
But we ended up getting the,
you
the deer.
It, got yes. it.
And it was a nice deer. I still got the rack, by the way. Yeah, European mount. It's kind of nice. And then I just started picked it up here a few years back, and I've enjoyed the heck out of doing it, and I'm in the stand as we speak.
Nice. I like it.
So I wish I could say that tradition was there, but I can't, and I envy those that do.
So, Don, who took you then?
Actually, when I was a kid, a friend of mine who grew up on a farm, his dad, stepdad actually, said, you know, you boys ought to go hunting. So my buddy Mark and our other buddy Mark and myself, we went out, and all we did at that time, and this is in southern Minnesota, we walked fence lines. And the stepdad sat with his truck at the end of the other fence line with refreshments on the front seat and his 30-06 or whatever he was shooting. I don't think it was probably a slug gun then, too.
Yeah.
And he just sat there and leaned against the seat of the car with the door open to see if anything ran down his fence line, which luckily it never did. So we actually had an opportunity to get, you know, a shot at this buck once. And you know, the one thing you don't do is shoot at a running deer, which is what we did back then, and didn't know any better. So that was the only time I really hunted. And the deer had run so much, had so much adrenaline in it. I remember taking steak home from my wife the first time, and it wasn't a good deal.
Didn't taste very good.
No. I gave away all the
meat. How about you, Ava?
Just like Don, I'm sitting in the tree stand as we speak. But, you know, my dad's been taking me ever since I was 12. And it's just always been great, you know. Still hunting with my dad, but now we're here in Red Wing instead of going up to Little Fork, Minnesota. And, yeah, it's fun. We now bring our twin girls to their house for a deer season opener. So we're all camping out at Grandma and Grandpa's.
Well, I remember starting out. I was, what, 9, went with my dad, 10 I think it was, sat with him in his deer stand, and loved to have my BB gun.
Sure.
Just sat out there.
Get rid of those pesky squirrels that sound like a buck.
Two of the big things is,
no,
that's fun. You know, so, I mean, and here's what we encourage you guys. If you guys have a really cool tale about or story about tradition that goes on in your camp, send it to info@thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yes.
And send it to us. Send us some cool stories. We'll read them on the air, and we might have something special for you if we end up reading it on the air. But so what I ended up doing was, if anybody cooked, everybody has something different they cook for like 4 days of the trip, right?
Sure.
And if somebody didn't like anything, then they, you know, if they complained, guess what? You're cooking next. So their response was, boy, this tastes like crap. But it's good.
Right.
It's really good.
Yeah, this is the best stew I've ever had.
Exactly. Tell you what, we'll be right back. Speaking of stew, hang tight. To have you back, and of course always good to have you guys check us out on The Valley Outdoors. And where else, Ava?
Facebook.
Wow, that you were prepared.
Well, I knew it was coming to me.
And
it's just The Valley Outdoors Facebook. And, pretty easy to find.
It is pretty easy to find. Just pull it up.
Hey, did you post my earring?
No, I did not.
Week?
I have
you
to
should
do
that.
I have to do that. She has a spinner bait on her ears.
Oh yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah okay. Cool. So he took a picture of him,
yeah.
And I even had somebody at my church say that it was a great show, and we were talking about my earring. So
we don't make a great show. We make fantastic shows.
You need to post
shows.
My earrings.
I will.
So
I'll post your earrings. I will.
Are they like Daredevil type with the red and white stripe?
No. They're multiple
they're
willow leaf.
Okay.
They're high speed.
Oh, okay. They spin a lot?
No, because there's the swivel is soldered so it doesn't spin.
Gotcha.
So let's jump back into it, Don.
What's
you,
that?
We had you talking off air and rambling, and then Ava said, no, this goes on air. But apparently you weren't really too anxious to talk about it. But you know,
well,
what?
You know,
you were young. You were young.
I was young.
So
and keep, this is keep your in first mind, deer. Too,
this is
right?
My very first time I was deer hunting. Keep in mind,
we'll talk about my first.
I'm
deer
shooting
too.
With Grandpa's double barrel side by side Ithaca 7-11. I still have the firearm, and it's not known for being accurate. So anyway, I shoot at this deer. He takes out of this grove running, and it's a big buck. And I shot him in the buttocks.
Nicely done.
Yeah. So I did take out a fairly good chunk of meat. And then we chased him for 4 miles.
Oof.
And we finally found him in a, you know. So you know, the issue here is the adrenaline. It's better if you can drop them where they're at. So I picked up that habit.
Absolutely. Yeah. No question.
And then, you know, and then we ended up having to shoot him again, and we finally,
we finally
ended it for him.
Gotcha. Is that why it took you a while to pick it back up again? Because it wasn't a great experience?
Well, you know, like everybody else, you know, I've got friends that are looking for places to hunt, you know, and it's not that easy to find places to hunt. You have to know somebody or be willing to go out to state land, which... You know,
no
there's
thanks.
a lot of people on, so.
And then usually you need help, too.
Right.
I've noticed that. So, like, a few times I wanted to go hunting, but I had nobody to help me. Like, if I get one,
yeah, no way.
I need help
yeah.
from somebody.
Yeah. Well, Ava, give us your story.
Oh, okay. So, my first deer, I'm sitting with my dad, and it's a doe, and she comes stepping out, and she's, what, 30 yards. No, she had to be farther than that. 50
Didn't
yards.
Have to be.
No, she was far. She was at the end of the shooting lane. Okay.
Okay.
And my dad's like, "If you want to shoot her, go for it. You know, like you have a tag or whatever." So, what I must have been doing because it took 3 shots for me to. Poor thing. Thankfully, she didn't scream because I think if she would have screamed, I would have been done.
You've been done hunting.
Okay, so. I think what I was doing is that I was shutting my eyes when I was pulling the trigger. You know, like you keep your eyes open and then, you know, you jerk.
You're flinching.
Flinching, okay.
Yeah, you got to learn to squeeze.
Well, that poor thing got shot in the leg, in the belly, and then finally got her right in the neck and she fell. Like she didn't run because I shot her in the frickin' leg.
Sounds like you're trying to save the hide.
Oh my gosh, it was so
sad. It's called the roundabout
sad.
Method.
Yes.
Okay, and and of course I see her eyes on that third shot, you know, because I was like, I need to, and I almost didn't do it again. If she would have screamed.
Did she look like Bambi?
She would, see, and I don't like thinking about it because it's sad.
You're not helping things,
no.
Come on.
But, you know, so we all have stories where you're like, man, I just... That wasn't the best.
So mine is because not all deer hunts are about the actual kill, right? So I've got two stories. One is, actually it's three, but short ones. First one, I go out there in the stand. It's cold. So you walk out to your stand, and my dad prepped me. I think I was 14. We walk out to the stand, nice and easy. You work up a sweat. It's about probably a mile in. We get to the stand, been there before. I climb up in the stand and it was cold. And I'm in the stand and I'm shaking. And I'm cold, like really cold. My dad wandered up to me and I didn't even say anything to him. Finally, he comes up and grabs my leg, scares the crap out of me.
You didn't see him coming?
No.
Oh.
Apparently, in what we talked about, he said, apparently I was on that very edge of that hypothermia situation.
Oh.
Apparently, I when he walked in, I got cold. I left my clothes in my bag, and I forgot because I had shot a deer, and I just sat there. And all of a sudden, it's like I became not really aware of what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a bad deal. Second was... I'm posting in a deer stand that's way up in a popple tree. I don't know how high, but it was up there. And it was in a kind of a swampy area, and it was a windy day, probably 30 miles an hour wind. And the guys are driving a swamp to me. These like eight guys. And they came up to me, we're talking distance, and all of a sudden you hear this tree snap. And I look, and it's coming at me. And I can't judge, but it's lined right up on my tree. I have leaned over to the side, grabbed a hold of the tree, that there's three trees that ring this stand. I grab onto the tree and hang on. The tree falls and hits 3 feet up on the bottom of the tree that I'm standing in. That's how close it was to hitting the tree.
Wow.
Last story. Dad's out probably one of the first years we're hunting. He's probably 40 yards away. So he's in close proximity, but sure, enough where it's distance. Mm-hmm. Standing in the stand he's in breaks. He falls 10 feet. He's got a Browning BAR where the, you know, the action centered.
Yep.
Wood on both sides. There's a plywood board 4x4 that's up on its end, on its side, to 4 foot side up. He's going to straddle it. Puts the shot of the rifle out, breaks the stock off of it. It pushes him off to the side, and he lands on the ground.
He never had a harness on?
No. That was way before harnesses. We never had harnesses.
Before safety.
Way before.
Oh, way before.
We're talking way, way back, right?
Okay.
So what happens? He's like, when I heard it break, I heard that thing snap like a gunshot. I thought he shot, right?
Yep.
Nope. We unbolted, put the thing back together because you got the action bolt that goes into the stock.
Right.
Put it back together. We went out and shot it. Can you believe that thing was spot on?
Really?
After absolutely taking the brunt. And it saved him, period. I don't think he would have survived. I saw where he fell. And it's, I mean, I just saw it and it scared the crap out of me. So
yeah, wow.
Safety, you guys, always. That's the one thing that just scares me. Mm-hmm. When it stands, yep, you think are ready to go. You went up from last year, or hey, let's check this other one out that was good last year. And if it's made out of birch or something similar, it's not safe. You can't see underneath the bark. And that's one of the things that comes into play, whether it's a nail that's rusted or somebody sabotaged it. That happens too, which is scary.
Right.
So, tell you what, stay tuned. We're going to be right back talking a little bit more deer when we return.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
It's always fun telling stories, Don.
Yeah, well,
maybe it'll make people feel better if they have a story like that, too.
Yeah, you don't know, be afraid like to send it to us. It's always good. If we know, read the story online, we'll come up with something for you.
Well, hopefully after this weekend, we'll have more next week.
Yeah, some good stories.
Yeah.
I'll be fishing.
I'm going to have to squeeze in hunting. I'm planning on sitting Saturday morning. I shoot a wedding Saturday until late. Then I can hunt Sunday morning and hopefully Sunday night. And then I should be able to sit Monday morning. And then we get into the work week and I have no idea.
I am going to be heading next week to Seattle. Doing a little.
I'm so happy for you.
Boat driving. Just got back from New York. Spent time on Long Island Sound. And it was brisk and cold. And of course, the gentleman I was doing a sea trial with sends me 6 photos of stripers.
Yeah,
44 inches, 43 inches.
You're going to be off shushing here pretty soon too, aren't you?
Yeah, it looks like ski areas are open up pretty quick. We just got done with our first ski school meeting. And
when do you go out there for your little school thing?
It starts the last week, right after Thanksgiving, if everything
works.
Oh,
in November?
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got a reprieve here.
No. I'll be going out before that, trust me. But there's whole areas. Arapahoe Basin just opened up.
Yeah, you can't go out there till you work on your legs.
East is open up. So, I'm doing that right now.
They're looking like rubber.
No, we'll be good. We'll be good. We'll be good. Well, we talk about deer. And look, why not just tell you why you're, if you're out hunting right now, why you made the right choice. Because opening deer, according to many sources that I have looked up, it's the best way to go. Absolutely.
Well, that's because they're all there yet.
Well, but also it's not because, only because of that. And I've got the reason for that.
I hope there's one.
Good story. And it's got valid points to it, which is really important. As the story goes, this is when I started traveling out of state to hunt the primetime game for deer. You realize a few things. The first was that the rut was often more of a snooze fest than it was supposed to be. The second one, that everybody believes the rut is the best time to be in the woods, so you'll have more company than other times of the season. And lastly, quickly it became clear that the rut action is wildly unpredictable, which is very true. While you love sitting in a tree in November, I truly believe that there isn't a better, more consistent opportunity to kill a buck than opening week. And this is due to several things. Number one, hunting pressure is everything. This gentleman has interviewed dozens of public land hunting experts, and every one of them is obsessed with figuring out how to hunt around pressure. It's often priority number one, even before the start, to figure out what deer like to do on any given property. Although, to be fair, if you're actively looking for areas with little or no hunting pressure, you're also, by default, looking where deer will be. Makes sense, right?
Right.
Opening week offers a special case in this realm. Not experiencing hunting pressure for 8 or 9 months tends to lull the herd into a false sense of security. This is damn near universal across regions and states, and it's a huge advantage. A buck that just isn't super neurotic about his survival is a buck that can be killed. Good luck finding deer in November that isn't keyed into pressure unless you're hunting a tightly controlled property. Important. And of course, it's not easy living a mindset to get bucks in trouble during the first week, but to do so, you need to know what their lifestyle choices are going to be. Patterns, they matter. While the rut offers a chance to catch a cruiser in a pinch point or a funnel, a single hot doe can ruin the best laid terrain trap plans. That's a fact. That happened to me 3 times. Same goes for one of your fellow hunters setting up with a bad wind just down the ridge from you. That is bad. Rut movement on a large scale is predictable. By and large, the bucks are going to cruise and chase, and that's good individual movement, though specific spots during a variety of conditions is less predictable. And early season bucks are a different story. While the pattern can blow up within a day or two of the opener, depending on hunting pressure, a whole host of other things that can go on, there's no time when bucks are more predictable. If you do your homework in the preseason, set yourself up with ambush options, you have a good chance of getting a buck on a still summer pattern, which is pretty cool. It's a real opportunity in states with September openers that can easily be a possibility for states with early October starting dates as well, because archery does put some pressure on those areas. Deer weather realities. The last real advantage opening week to offer is the weather. A lot of hunters won't go if it's too hot, too windy, or if it's going to rain. They have a whole season to hunt, and if it's not perfect for them, forget it. I'm just going to skip it and sit it out. I don't feel like deer hunting in these conditions. The same holds true with hunters that might sandbag a day during the rut, even though unseasonal weather can have greater impact on their success. My favorite opening weeks involve warm temperatures or rainy weather. I know much of my competition will sit it out. I know the bucks will still move because they don't spend their time thinking that it just doesn't feel like deer weather.
Right.
They're used to it. They will react accordingly. So in conclusion, the rut makes a lot of big promises but doesn't often deliver. The early season, while it doesn't come with the opportunity to see 6 bucks chasing in the same morning, does offer real advantages. It might not feel the same sitting in a tree on November 5th, but it might offer you a better chance to kill a mature buck, and that's not nothing.
No. I mean, that's so true. I mean, it's deer are creatures of habit until they get disrupted. You know, when they start getting shot at, they tend to get a little nervous if they're fortunate enough to keep on moving. So it's a matter of hoping to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and I think the other part that holds true as well to follow up on, Don, is that you can't catch a fish if you don't have your line in the water.
Right.
You can't get a deer if you're not going to sit in your stand, number one. You can't get a deer either if you're not going to take the time to understand what the deer are doing. You may benefit from friends that say, look, here, this is where the deer are moving. This is the stand to be on. Perfect. This is it. Okay, that qualifies as the same thing. Somebody was educated enough or took the time enough to go set you up. Thank those people if you don't have time to get out in the woods, because those are gems of people, and they are absolutely your best friends, because to set that up and you don't have to be out there to do that.
You know, the one thing I've learned in the last 2-3 years that I've been deer hunting is I did invest in some trail cams. And those, I mean, trail cams will tell you a story. And you're talking about the weather here a second ago. That's one thing I've noticed on the, you know, a lot of movement at night at this point. Once the season opens, they'll be moving because they're going to be pushed. But I noticed that there were more deer activity on the rainy, foggy nights than the clear nights.
They're probably feeling a little more comfortable.
A little more undercover.
Yep.
Yep, exactly. Well, speaking of undercover, I hope you guys are out from under the covers. You're sitting in your deer stand, and you are having an absolute fantastic day. Really enjoy. Be safe. Have fun.
Good luck.
And yeah, for sure. Good luck. And we'll be chatting with you next week for the Valley Outdoors. Ava, myself, Eric, and Don, we are out of here.